How do you say thank or be and Gertrude? I don't know. They have a way of vanishing very quickly when they leave here. They just disappear. Oh, I'm going to have to sing a nice way of thanks to God for them. Because Beanie Ball was out in the choir today. It wasn't all our fault. So if you look at page 42, and we're going to sing glory to God on high for God's Son and His Son Jesus and His Son Beanie and His daughter Gertrude, whom we love here. We do. And sing thank you for all. Yeah, well, it's on that. You know that page 42. Glory in itself. Because we did sleep over last night. We really did. We had a confidence. Well, let's do glory on page 49. 49. Glory. And today we're the only ones who can choir. And I want to do that tonight. All of you alert. Sit up. Back up. Stand up. And let's glory to God.
Shows a little contrast in what musicians do in developing church music. The first one is hymn number 152. 152. I'd like to have you sing one stanza of 152. Now, this is not really a chorale. And certainly it isn't old Gregorian or plain song. Actually, it's a folk song by Haydn that has assumed a certain national prominence as a favorite song in Germany. I have to apologize It's a little high in pitch, but let's sing a stanza of glorious things of thee are spoken. The second tune. Second tune. Christmas in July up here. We celebrate all kinds of festivals. Will you sing one stanza of number 39? Now we'll turn to hymn 532. 532. I may be a little sarcastic here, but I'm glad in this edition of the hymnal that at least for some of us, this tune has been restored to its original rhythm. Early church music was very free and very flowing, as I've said these past many Saturday nights. A very lyric, flowing sort of freedom of rhythm, a combination of two beats and three two, and so on. Three was considered a very important number in many ways, and it was considered particularly holy by the early church. So even three beats in a group was of special significance. And then for a while they got offended at the idea that three was a waltz, and that people danced to it, and that was sinful. So they took out all the threes out of the rhythm and straightened them out. Now, in my background, we used to sing this Maybe that text can serve as the prayer for our evening service. Now I want to play a very contemporary setting of this tune. I'm not sure that you'll be able to find the melody all the way. Whether you realize that in the hymnal we have a setting of the Lord's Prayer. At least we have a chorale tune listed as Our Father which art in heaven. I think we look at hymn number 359. You notice up there in the left-hand corner of 359, there's a German setting there, a title of the tune, Lord's Prayer. Now, this is an arrangement, according to this hymnal, by Martin Luther, and that was by Bach. Originally, this was associated with the actual text of the Lord's Prayer. I would like to have you sing one stanza of this Bach harmonization of this tune. The rich old classic harmonic style of those two. Now I'd like to play a very contemporary setting of that same melody. Thank you. And we'll sing one stanza, 460. Favorites up here for communion, 272. 272. Two stanzas of 272. Now, during these several numbers, we've taken folk tunes, we've taken national tunes, we've taken chorale melodies, we've taken at least one gospel melody. Here we have now a plain song, very ancient melody. Sometimes I think maybe I'm after you people in singing, particularly amens. I don't want to be misunderstood, but volume is an indication of intensity in terms of meaning. Sometimes amen must be sung very softly, but oftentimes it sounds to me that people are simply adding it on as an afterthought. Now, this one, 272, is one of the most intense texts, one of the most intense melodic items in our hymnal. Many of you may not know it, but I want you to sing it very, very softly, and then I'll play three variations and end the evening that way.